Welcome to That 80s Show, and Dori, as you sit in the studio, you may notice that the blinds are drawn.
Yes, I was wondering why you'd made such an ambient atmosphere for us.
Do you want me to reveal why the blinds are drawn?
Is there a naked guy outside?
I'm going to go off mic for a bit. Okay, that was a terrible start. Bad move. But why I drew those blinds?
Yes.
Is That 80 Show HQ. Our studio is on the fourth floor.
Yes.
And there is some painting work going on.
Yes.
And outside our studio window, there's a balcony.
Right.
And the painters are painting the outside of the balcony, that overhang.
Right.
Okay.
The railing?
But not the railing. There's the railing, and then there's kind of the building.
The wall.
The wall.
Okay.
And to paint it, the guy climbed over the railing and is hanging on the railing four floors up, no safety harnesses, painting the side of the wall. So I pulled the blinds because I do not want to see a man fall to his death.
Wow.
And he's, I mean, he's hanging, and they've painted one little bit, and they're going to come back and paint more.
But think of the publicity, Paolo. This podcast could become police evidence.
Witnesses.
We're live witnesses. We're like, he's slipping. Oh, there he goes.
I mean, are we about to do the first live true crime podcast? That's just a crime of
unintentional crime.
I see they're actually now putting their hands through the railing. So they're back on the safe side of the railing.
Right.
And they're painting that little bit. So it's just the verge that they did. You know, it's so bizarre. Like, you and I were just talking about other countries before we started recording. And when you go to another country and you see workmen, if they climb like a normal size ladder, we're not even talking like an industrial ladder. They got a harness. They South Africa, hanging, four floors.
Hanging from with one finger.
His mate was there. His friend was there, but not holding him or anything. Just looking at him.
Yeah.
Just, you know, in case. My God. I'm so scared of
heights. We live dangerously here.
We do live dangerously on That 80s Show. This is the year of living dangerously. Every week we take a little spin around the 1980s. Going to be a little bit of a shorter show. But I want to start
better than no show.
Show. Oh, yeah. That was not good for Dori and I mainly.
Yeah,
for
our mental health. It suffered.
Bad for your mental health if you're listening to this. But thank you for coming again. So,
yes.
Dori, we love the biggest thing about 80s sitcoms was the theme.
Okay.
Right. We remember all of them.
True. I sing them all the time.
They just pop into your head randomly, and you kind of like, you'll know a song. You don't even always know what TV show it is. You and I do, but most people don't. Found an article on Cracked about the origins. Six things or things you didn't know about six iconic sitcom theme songs. I'm just going to give the 80s ones.
Yes.
There is a Friends one here. It's not that interesting, so I'm not going to read the Friends one.
Okay.
But we'll post up this whole article on That 80s Show essay on Facebook or check the show notes. Cheers. Iconic.
Where everybody knows your name.
It was originally written for a movie so bad, I considered reviewing it.
Oh, but it wasn't bad enough?
I know. It's like this, either not bad enough or so bad that it's like, I can't even find the jokes.
Oh, like it's actually not so bad it's good, just so bad, full stop.
In the realm of late 70s, early 80s sex romps like Porky's, Revenge of the Nerds, and everything else in between, there was a 1984 teen sex comedy called Preppies. Preppies.
Okay.
Right? Starring no one you know, where three sexy young women are hired to ensure that three college students don't pass their final exams.
Okay.
That's what it was written for. The movie poster, as a Cracked article says everything you need to know, right, about it. It's got a preppy-looking college student.
I was not expecting the gun.
Yeah, he's got a machine gun, and then there is a leg of a sexy lady dropping
and
her bra. Yeah, at him. And the premise of this movie is that if this kid, he will inherit $50 million if he survives a weekend.
Okay.
And then these prostitutes try to make him not and then they fall in love.
Where's he inheriting the money from? And then why's there? Okay, I'm so confused.
He was like a layabout, and his dad was some guy,
some tycoon.
His dad said, "I'll give you $50 million," but so stupid.
Stupid plot.
We're like beyond stupid. Like, okay.
Did this movie actually get released?
Of home video.
Okay.
And one of those, like, if you actually look at it, the movie cover is one of those to kind of trick you into it could be a Porky's.
Yes.
You know, you can see it by the video.
I mean, there's a leg and a bra.
Even the font.
Yes.
Preppies, Porky's.
Yes.
You could get confused.
Mm.
You know, especially you're 14 years old, you want to go hire a movie. That's what it is. So that's Cheers. The first time that song appeared was in...
I can't even imagine the context.
Different lyrics. So they actually changed the lyrics for Cheers, which is so weird because, like, for some reason, and I think it's just because of the opening intro of Cheers, I thought that song was from the 1920s.
Oh.
I thought it was from like a speakeasy.
No.
I thought, it's just one of those nice ditties from 60 years before Cheers was released.
It would have sounded a little bit more like this.
I was not able to find, you're right. Stop the presses. I was not able to find it.
Okay.
But I will keep going. I will keep looking for it to find the original version that appeared in Preppies. The Jeffersons, Moving On Up.
Mm-hmm.
Love that song.
Mm.
Let me read the story to you. The catchy Moving On Up was performed and co-written by Jeanette Dubois, a name you might recognize from another Norman Lear sitcom. I do not. Jeanette Dubois was actually in another sitcom called Good Times. She played a neighbor and then she sang the theme song.
Sounds vague.
The Jeffersons.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it was actually her own personal song because it was a personal dream to earn enough cash to give her mother a comfortable retirement.
Huh.
So it wasn't written for the...
I hope she made lots of money.
There's two things that either we've never heard of her, so either she did make a shitload of money and just like lives off the royalties of that.
To move to an island or whatever, yeah.
Or she didn't make any money.
That would be very sad. It's a great song.
Yeah. But the highlight of all of this, we've spoken about this before.
Mm-hmm.
But this is why rabbit holes, 80s rabbit holes are so fantastic, is the Golden Girls.
Right.
So we've spoken about Golden Girls a lot. This year is an anniversary, I think, of the release of the Golden Girls, 40-year anniversary. And the song, Thank You For Being A Friend, was like a kind of like staple top 40 easy listening song written by Andrew Gold. Would often be on radio in the late 70s, early 80s. Radio friendly, got a fair amount of radio play.
Okay.
But of course, it pops up as Golden Girls, and we only ever remember it as Golden Girls. But it was a song in its own right before then.
Okay.
They actually wanted to use a song by Bette Midler called Friends.
Okay.
For the Golden Girls. But of course, you can't afford a Bette Midler song, especially we didn't know Golden Girls was going to be so big.
No.
Like, we can't pay that. So they opted to cover Gold's song, and the rest is history. Right.
Okay.
Fine. Cool.
It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like you have more to say.
No, it's Golden Girls, fine. They used that song. But then this article then goes, a Netherlands version of the Golden Girls also featured Thank You For Being A Friend, sung in Dutch.
Alrighty.
So this amuses me very, very much. Gonna play you right now the Dutch version of...
Yay!
Not only is it the Dutch version of Thank You For Being A Friend, it is the Dutch version of the opening of the Dutch Golden Girls, which sounds like a sex thing.
Anything Dutch sounds like a sex thing.
You know, a Dutch Golden Girl. I want you to all take a listen to this.
Niemand is leuker dan jij. Met jou vliegt iedere dag voorbij. Jij staat altijd klaar. En je laat mij nooit in de steek.
I can just imagine the joy in your heart when you discover that.
I just, prepping the show last night about 10 o'clock, I found this. But what is the joy in your heart of hearing that?
I never knew such a thing existed.
You know, we spoke a while ago about specifically 80s TV shows, but dubbed into Spanish.
Yes.
And then there was the Spanish Golden Girls, but it was just translated.
Yes.
Oh my God, Dory.
This is an actual separate show with separate cast filmed in what looks like a coastal town.
A coastal town in the Dutch. It's in The Hague.
It's in The Hague.
The Hague. Yeah.
So here's my question. Are the characters the same as the original Golden Girls? Like, is there the dumb one, the slut,
you can kind
the
of
old
see
lady? I'm guessing that the woman whose real name is Luce is the slut.
I mean, nominative determinism. Yeah. It's, you can see by that opening credit. Now, that was done in 2012. Right.
So, oh, wow. So like not even 80s.
Not as far. No, just Holland.
I thought it was like 90s.
Yeah, no, it's 2012. So wow. Relatively recent.
But Europe just, you know, doesn't move on.
The coastal Dutch town of Scheveningen.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where it was set. Mm-hmm. You can see who's who in that, right? You can kind of see the various characters. You can see the Sophia there. Shenanigans, looks like they do, you know, shenanigans as well. I imagine
they look a bit more active. They were riding bikes,
taking walks, working in the garden,
playing golf.
I imagine there's lots of technology based shenanigans, dating apps,
maybe,
you know,
maybe.
Kind of the things
they were gambling in a casino.
They were there, you know, there's a lot of things that Golden Girls like didn't explore just because they didn't have the technology.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe this could get into that Facebook mishaps, you know, as a thing.
I'm going to look for it.
No caftans.
No.
No caftans, I noticed. The B. Arthur character wasn't wearing a caftan.
I think caftans are very Florida.
Oh, it could be. So the characters' names, Barbara, Alstus, and Millie.
Okay.
All right. And it seems like they're based on the same characters. But Dory, then there are so many of Golden Girls spin-offs from around the world.
Who would have thought that that would be the show?
The Golden Girls. I suppose it's like really
relatable.
And, you know, inexpensive, and you can kind of the plots write themselves.
You can pay old people less.
You can get younger people who are desperate to break through, say, be an old lady.
Put on a grey wig.
You know, so there's a British version of the Golden Girls called the Brighton Biddies.
Okay.
Yeah, there's even Egyptian Golden Girls.
Really?
Russian Golden Girls, which again sounds like a webcam
sounds like
sex
an
cam
urban
thing.
Dictionary thing.
You know, Russian Golden Girls. Mm-hmm. So is it a fetish?
Hmm.
I mean, is this
the question of the day?
You know? Do Dutch people have a Golden Girls fetish? If you're Dutch, let us know. I mean, we're not yet to judge.
No,
we're yet to,
we can't judge on this show.
We're inquisitive. We're very inquisitive. So who would have thunk that the Golden Girls theme song would have unlocked a fetish? Again.
Mm.
For the third time this year. Dory?
Yes.
Movie or multimedia recommendations? You tell me you've got a movie that we're going to review this week.
I have a movie. Which I found on Plex, but it's not terrible.
Mm.
It's not bad. It's not, okay, it has a little bit of sex in it, just a touch. Less than I expected, considering the theme of the movie.
Oh, okay.
It is a classic, based on a classic work of literature, which I've never read. And I thought, look, I'm probably not going to read, let's be honest, at this time in my life. Let me watch the movie. Expecting it to be meh.
Right.
I loved it. It's a movie called Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Ugh! Dory, why would you do such a thing to me?
Why?
That's like being sprayed in the mouth by Red Door. Someone just sprayed ane in my mouth. Why? That is such a ladylike. God, this is going to be a miserable few minutes for me.
No, it's not. No, it is not. I'll tell you why.
I think you see male penis. Well, opposed to female penis, but
you
I think you
see more male nudity than female nudity in this movie.
This is what I remember about this movie.
Oh, have you seen it?
I remember it. Listen, you know, things to watch were in short supply in the 80s. So if something was on and you heard that there could be nudity.
Yes.
Like, I'm definitely going to watch it. And then dong.
Look, there is full female nudity as well.
Yeah.
And let me just reveal.
Big bush.
Medium bush, really? Considering it's the 80s.
Because it wasn't set in the 80s.
But let me tell you, the main star was the girl who played the original Emmanuel.
Emmanuel Lewis. Yes, I know her well.
She's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yes.
The man who plays her lover. Do you remember a show in the 80s called Matt Houston?
Ooh, yes.
It was like a very mediocre.
I think, yeah, we had it in Afrikaans though.
No, I don't think we did.
Magnus Houston. No.
It was Hastian.
It's a very South African political news joke.
No. So the actor in Matt Houston was a man by the name of Lee Horsley.
Okay.
Who sported a less than fantastic moustache than Tom Selleck.
Okay.
But he was a good looking guy with a moustache. The guy in Lady Chatterley's Lover, similar looking to him.
I'm just looking at a picture of Matt Houston now, and I encourage everyone to do this because this is just...
He's a good looking guy.
Oh my word. This, if you had to put this on russiangoldengirls.ru, I mean, you would get so many looks on it. So many hits on that website.
But now look at the guy from Lady Chatterley's Lover and see the resemblance.
Wait, so this Matt Houston actor is not the Lady Chatterley?
No, it's just... No, it's not him. It's
sorry,
not him.
Word, I'm so spinning.
I'm sorry. It made me think of him. Look, but it's not him.
Look, he's got very generic 80s tough guy look, moustache, permed hair. Tweed jacket, smolders. Because we started the show with a very Dutch feel, smolders. But now, what happened here is I'm looking at Lady Chatterley's Lover so I can follow along, but I'm shown the 2022 version.
No. Ignore that.
Yes.
Which I shall be doing because I'm sure it's terrible.
Okay.
As most remakes from the 80s are.
Right.
Now, Lady Chatterley's Lover is set in the 1920s going into the 1930s, it revolves around the war.
People
so
would
actually,
have
it must have started in the 19-teens.
Yeah.
But yes. So in a nutshell, this woman marries this man, very, very wealthy. They live in like one of those Downton Abbey style homes in the countryside.
Yes.
He then goes off to war, is injured in war and comes back in a wheelchair. And is injured, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, injured down there.
Injured down there. So that is the end. And she's young and beautiful, as you know. So he actually says to her, listen, I give you permission to take a lover. As long as you always come home to me, please go get your needs met.
Okay.
She then happens upon this guy who works on the property.
Farmhand.
Well, she's taking a walk. Yeah, he's like a farmhand, basically. She's taking a walk in the woods. And lo and behold, she sees him doing a bucket bath.
Of course.
As you do in the 1920s.
In the woods, especially.
In the woods.
Yeah.
We're getting into slow motion camera work here. Gratuitous butt shot.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
All of it. She like, ooh. Anyway, things progress and they start their little affair.
Yes.
Her husband, by this stage, has actually turned into a bit of a douche. He seemed like a nice guy in the beginning, but now he's like just being an ass.
He's got a outrageous wheelchair, by the way.
Oh, yes. Well,
I'm looking at a picture.
It is a rich man in the 1920s.
Oh, it looks like a, like if you imagine a Harley, like a motorbike from that era.
So that is his transport that he uses to get around the property.
Oh.
He has a wheelchair for around the house, but it's also very ornate and very fancy.
These are,
but it's not, you're looking at his actual mode of transport.
These are like war chairs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, this looks very 1920s.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing about this movie. It's very well done.
I'm going through the photos and immediately a butt shot.
Did you see
this
a butt
shot? This must be the bucket shot.
There's the
bucket
bath.
Yeah.
There it is.
Okay, right.
So you don't see his moustache, but you see much more.
Oh, right. Yeah, I would have preferred the moustache. I'm having so many flashbacks from Lady Chatterley's Lover.
It's a good movie. I thought it was going to have a very depressing ending. I'm happy to report it does not.
Okay. Found another picture. Good moustache.
Oh, let's see.
I see the Matt Houston thing. He's chopping wood.
And that is not a euphemism. Yes. You see the resemblance.
Yes.
Yes.
I get what you're saying. So that little journey there was quite, I don't know if it was worth it, but it was a journey.
I just had to, because when you say man with moustache, you immediately think Tom Selleck, but he's not. He's not a Tom Selleck.
I think we should explore Matt Houston next week and just remind people of it.
It's been on my list to actually do.
Yeah.
So I think
that's a deep cut.
I need to get back into Matt Houston.
Yeah, there's a photo of them doing sex in a barn.
Yes.
With Matt Houston lookalike.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you see her boobies?
Not in this one, but you know, the one thing about the movie posters, so they on IMDb, they show about four or five movie posters. None of them leave you under any like misconception about what this movie's about. Like this movie is about people doing it. Doing it hard.
There was less sex than I expected.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, them in the woods.
More,
yes.
I thought it would be more Emmanuel, but not really.
Okay. Again, I'm obsessed with this guy's outside wheelchair.
Yeah, that's quite
thing,
something.
This thing is, it's got a place for his gun.
Is there a picture of his inside wheelchair, though?
Yeah, but not, I mean, it's okay. But once you've seen the outside wheelchair, he can put his rifle in there.
Not a euphemism.
Indeed. all right, Dori. So that is Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommended by Dori.
Yeah.
Good movie.
No, really. Ooh, really good.
Picture of an ear biting here. It's all happening. Great recommendation, Dori.
Thank you.
Now, Dori, I found a movie this week that I really wanted to make fun of, but I actually don't think I can. I'm going to play you the trailer of a movie that shares the name of one of my favorite TV shows, but actually came out before the TV show.
Okay.
Now, what you're all going to hear is the trailer, but you're going to hear something underneath that's going to confuse you, and I'll explain.
Once, courageous knights roamed the land, searching for adventure, ready to brave any challenge. Knight Riders. The knight is a fighting machine, disciplined in mind and heart, and noble to the death. Knight Riders. Action. Adventure. Romance. Heraldry. Pageantry. And magic.
Magic got to do with the soul, man. Only the soul got destiny.
Knight Riders, they ride for the crown. They fight for honor.
That kid thinks I'm evil Knievel.
That kid thinks you're William the Knight. You're his hero.
I'm not trying to be a hero. I'm fighting the dragon.
Following a dream as far as it will take them.
Small town jails is uncomfortable places.
Knight Riders, the legend is born.
Okay.
Now, Dori had the benefit of visual, but you would have just heard, it sounds a mythical quest. This is set in King Arthur times.
Right.
Why did I hear a motorbike?
Because it is not set in King Arthur times.
You know, talk about euphemisms. I'm trying to fight a dragon. The main actor in that, Ed Harris.
Really, holy moly.
Really good looking.
Like Robert Redfordish.
Like real leading man, of course.
No, not Robert Redford, Paul Newman.
Paul Newmanish,
Paul,
yes.
Paul Newmanish.
Strong jaw, yes. Piercing eyes. And I mean, of course, he goes on to do the right stuff. Abyss, Apollo 13, Truman Show. He was in Westworld.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful Mind.
Yeah, but this movie.
So this is his first movie, okay? He kind of like, I feel like he aged 20 years from this movie.
Right?
Within 2 years. He just got old very quickly.
Yes.
So in this movie.
I think it might have been this movie that did that.
Right. So what it is, what if King Arthur traded a horse for a Harley Davidson? It's actually not even a Harley Davidson. It's like cheap knockoff Suzukis and Yamahas. But he leads a troop of motorcyclists who dress up as knights. And they go from town to town doing jousts. But instead of horses, they have motorbikes, right?
It's a carnival life.
His name is, he calls is King William. And he wants to live by Arthurian ideals, by King Arthur ideals.
Okay.
Which involves having sex with his queen in the forest.
Right.
And then after he's done with that, so the opening scene, you were seeing that there's a, he keeps dreaming of a black bird.
Right.
And then he wakes up in the forest. This is how the movie opens. And he's just had, you can, evidently he's just had sex with his queen. And then he goes to bathe himself in a river and starts whipping himself.
Right.
Right.
As you do.
As you do after you've had sex with your queen in a forest. That movie was directed by George Romero.
Oh.
He of, King of the Zombies. He made all the zombie movies. Right.
They haven't revealed the name of this movie yet, Paolo.
Didn't it say in the trailers?
It did say in the trailers.
It did say
in the trailers. You haven't revealed to our listener.
Yes. The fantastic thing is, Dory, this movie's called, and you imagine two of these, Knight Riders.
One word with a K.
With a K. Because they are knights riding. This was released a couple of years before the Knight Rider TV
the
show.
The Knight Rider. The Knight Rider.
Exactly. So now, this
I think they got the idea from this movie.
This is why this movie pops up in my world, because obviously I'm always looking for Knight Rider.
You've got that Google alert.
Right. And then Knight Riders, I was like, I do.
I've never heard of this movie. 1981, hey?
It's going to pop up.
It
like
must have
some
been
sort of oddity.
A massive flop, though.
I can't find why it was a flop. I don't know if it was. So let's get into the themes of it.
And yeah. Maybe,
I think because a lot of people thought, oh, it's George Romero and where are the zombies?
Maybe.
You know? So he leads.
Some pretty girls in it. I don't know who they were, though.
Fair maidens.
Yes, fair maidens indeed.
So he leads this troop around the country. They go town to town and they are approached by a promoter who says, love what you guys are doing. Okay. I want to kind of bring you under my stable. Let's take this huge. Let's go bigger. Let's be Evel Knievel. Let's go big.
Right.
Stadiums, massive tours. No, that's not.
It's not the carny way.
It's not the carny way. We smell like cabbage, right? We'll continue. But of course, other people in his troop, his main rival goes, look.
It's all about the money, man.
It's
makes the world go round.
We can't keep living this carny life.
Yeah.
Right? This guy's offering us money, and then there's a clash and there's a split in the troop.
Yes.
Between this. So Billy, the King William guy, gets arrested, spends a night in jail because he won't pay off a local cop for performing in his town, because the cop goes, you perform here, you got to pay me money.
It looked like some trauma happened in the jail.
Oh, yes. People got beaten up. Yeah. It was pretty bad.
Small town jail.
It comes back. Oh, and things aren't good there. It comes back. And he now comes back to his troop. He spends some time in jail. And they now are performing with the promoter. They're doing a once off with the promoter.
They turn their back on
him. They turn their backs. And so now there's like a split in the faction. And they both go on separate journeys. And they go, right, well, the only way to settle it is by joust. Team against my team. And the winner chooses the path.
Mm.
Right. So there is obviously, then it's the two separate journeys of the guys who want to keep to the Arthurian ideals and whip each other in rivers. And then there's other guys who, there's a fantastic, the main guy, Morgan, who like kind of has the separate faction, leads a separate faction and sells out.
The antagonist.
There's a fantastic shot. I'm going to pop it up on That 80 Show SA Facebook and in the show notes of him doing a promotional shoot where he's wearing like this leather outfit, like all reclined, beautiful bevy of beauties.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hilariously porn-tastic 80s. You'll love it. And then his journey involves, this is the effects of money. The guys get drunk, not focused. Everything we did, we're making no money, but at least we were professional. Now these guys are drunk and they're whoring and, you know, anyway. And then there is the final joust. And in a twist, Billy actually loses.
Wow,
yeah.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah, he actually loses, but fair is fair, he lost and he hands over the crown to Morgan.
Who then realizes this isn't actually what I want.
And Morgan goes, this is actually not what we want.
Yeah.
And we end off with Billy leaving the troop and riding off and he's happy. And now Billy has been, after Billy leaves the troop, he goes back to the police station and fucks up the cop.
Oh, okay.
That's going to land you into a lot of trouble. He fucks up the cop. He's just been wounded in battle because it took a big toll on him and he's riding off now into sunset. And he like is starting to hallucinate and imagines himself riding a horse.
Oh.
And he's like, oh, I'm fully at peace. And as he opens his eyes, he fucking gets mowed down by an 18-wheeler truck.
No, that's horrible.
Turned into meat, right?
Wow. And that's
then,
bleak.
Very bleak. And then we find both everyone now at his funeral, both camps united at his funeral to say farewell to their fallen king. And
sure,
we don't know what happened because there was no Knight Riders 2. But what the movie does, right?
Yeah.
So the thing is, you want to shit on it, but it deals with, for 1981, some complex or some interesting things.
Mm.
There are two gay characters, okay, right? Who for the 80s were not camp.
Okay.
Were not over the top stereotypes.
Right.
They were just two normal dudes who are part of this camp.
Yeah.
And they are in love with each other.
Amazing.
And they just.
And no one calls them the F-slur?
Nothing. There is nothing like that. It's just two gay guys. And for the 80s, like I was watching Mannequin the other day.
Yeah.
And the character Hollywood. It's like such an over the top stereotype. No. So just, oh, wow. It's like for like now you gay characters is like nothing on TV.
Yeah.
And in movies. In the 80s, like just, wow, these guys are like just, like they're not played as gags.
Yes.
Not once, not at all. And they have like a relationship. They have like, which, okay, so that was one of the things.
That's amazing.
The mechanic of the main mechanic, a female, and not butch, not a lesbian, just a woman who's a mechanic.
Wow.
Which again, for the 80s.
Yeah, they did not do the stereotypes.
No, just. George Romero was like, no, that's like, this can happen.
Yeah.
There's also one character that just chooses, he just likes to smoke weed. He chooses marijuana, but he's not Cheech and Chong. Mm. He's not a stoner. He's not like, you know, again, all the stereotypes of what people using marijuana in the 80s were. No, he's just a functioning guy. And he just like, while everyone's drinking, he preferred to have a joint.
Mm.
And like, is quite normal now. So if you think about that context.
Yeah.
Over 40 years ago.
That's amazing.
Like it's quite, like you watch it now and you go, it doesn't even stand out for you at all because we're so used to it. But you must think, shit, in the 80s, that must have been like huge.
No, I actually do think it would stand out because actually I feel like in some ways we've gone backwards. There's a lot of stuff now that is
Trumpisms.
slipping back into stereotypes. And,
So, okay, that's true. And so George Romero, his actual take on this, what a lot of people say about it, is that this kind of, the play between keeping to our artistic ideals versus selling out commercially was the battle he had because he had made these like really low budget zombie movies that became huge.
Yeah.
And suddenly people were giving him money and now he had to make compromises. So they say this movie was underlined by a lot of what he was dealing with.
Wow. You know?
Also the twist for the good guy not to win.
Yes.
Even Morgan, the bad guy.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a bad guy. You kind of like
he redeems himself.
He does redeem himself because we actually don't know if he takes the money in the end. It's kind of left open-ended because even though he wins, he does realize it's wrong.
Yeah.
But maybe he goes, well, no, we got to do it on this condition. Maybe because he saw, oh, well, that's the wrong way to do it, but we still got to take the money. So we don't quite know which way he goes with it. But I really wanted to make fun of that movie because it was so, so silly.
I mean, the trailer makes it look very silly.
It's LARPing on motorbikes.
That's what I was thinking. This sounds very LARPy.
Yeah. I was at Comic-Con this weekend, so this would not have been out of place.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
David Hasselhoff, not the first man to play Knight Rider. Discovered that year on that 80s show.
The things we learn every week.
So that is my movie, Knight Riders. Dory, I want to wrap up playing a game we haven't played in quite a while. Two 80s truths and a lie.
Yeah.
I found some for you.
Yay.
So what we do, I give Dory three factoids. Two are true, one is a lie. She needs to identify them. Young at Heart, the song.
Yeah.
By the Bluebells.
Yeah.
Ditty, fun song.
Love it.
Fun song was criticized by the Pope, Pope John Paul II, because he said it promoted divorce.
Huh.
Okay. Number two, a short-lived law in Utah made it illegal to wear leg warmers outside of gyms or dance studios, citing immodest distraction.
Okay.
And number three, Freddy Krueger's sweater colors were scientifically chosen. Two are true, one is a lie.
What do you mean by scientifically chosen?
So Wes Craven said he read a scientific article stating that red and green were the hardest colors for the eyes to process together. So seeing them together would make you feel unsettled. I think it's the two colors. If you're colorblind, you can't. I don't say as any fact.
I don't know. They have Christmas colors as well.
So they're the two hardest colors. They unsettle you.
Okay.
So it wasn't just a random. Yes.
Mm.
So two of those are true. One is a lie.
I think the leg warmers one's a lie.
Why would you, Utah, Dory?
It just sounds ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, Dory. Correct. Well done. You have spotted it. Totally made up.
Mm-hmm.
Freddy Krueger sweater. Yes, that's a true story. Wes Craven said.
That did sound legit.
Yeah.
The first one did not sound legit, but possible.
So that is actually true. It is from The Guardian. You can read in The Guardian, don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole story about the bluebells that Young at Heart was originally done for Bananarama. And they recorded it, but it just kind of didn't work. And then it was handed over to the bluebells.
Irish? Or...
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
It was handed over to the bluebells and then they added the fiddle.
Okay.
The fiddle, and suddenly the song completely changed and became...
God, that song was huge.
Only ever got to number 8. Never
really?
Went...
Really?
Yeah.
Huge one-hit one.
Song was huge. And to the lyrics, the Pope said, no, this promotes divorce. Of which they're like, there's not one single theme of divorce in this entire
I don't
song.
Know the lyrics that well. I'm going to go and have another listen to it and
no,
see.
No, the whole story is there. I'll post it up on that 80 Show SA Facebook page. They explain it and they say they don't know where the Pope got that from. There's nothing.
See, now that sounded kind of legit as well. I mean, crazy, but legit.
I would love the scenario where the Pope is sitting in the Vatican
listening to Young at Heart.
What else was he listening to? I mean, I like
Judas Priest, let's be honest.
Are we going that or...
No.
Are we thinking... I'd love to think the Pope loved Wham. And he's busy listening to Club Tropicana. This comes up next. He's like, no. He wasn't Italian. I got to do the Pope. Thanks for joining me, Dory.
Bye.
Goodbye.